بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi وسلم is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Ameen. Today, inshallah, we will continue to learn about the classes of the treatment of anxiety, and we are learning about the belief in Allah's decree. Nowadays, we are learning about the first aspect of the belief in Allah's decree, which is Allah's knowledge. And today, the title of the class, inshallah, is Provision Knows Your Place. Provision Knows Your Place. Inshallah, today we will learn about the most precious five keys in life. The precious five keys in life are the keys of the unseen, which only Allah knows. We will learn about them from the verses of the Holy Quran and the hadith of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. Our goal from studying these verses of the Quran and the hadith is to realize that the unseen, that is to say, all that lies beyond our perception, is only known to Allah, the All-Knower, a fact which will be very beneficial for everyone who feels and fear regarding the future. The belief that only Allah knows the unseen will make us to know that Allah is the one who has the unlimited knowledge. Regarding us, mankind, our knowledge is very limited. We will believe that no one is supposed to judge the events of his life according to his limited knowledge. We will also believe that we are in great need of Allah's guidance regarding the decisions of our future, as we don't know whether these decisions will be beneficial or not in the future. Now learn about the five keys of the unseen from the Holy Quran, from Surah number 34, verse number 30. Surah number 34, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. 34, 31, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, verse number 34. Surah number 31, verse number 34. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna Allah indahu ilmu al-sa'a, wa yunazzilu al-ghaysa, wa ya'lamu ma fi al-arham, wa ma tadri nafsun maza taksibu ghada, wa ma tadri nafsun bi-ayi ardin tamut. Inna Allah alimun khabir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Verily Allah, with him alone is the knowledge of the hour. He sends down the rain and knows that which is in the wombs. No person knows what he will earn tomorrow, and no person knows in what land he will die. Verily Allah is all-knower, all-aware of things.
Actually, sisters, regarding the hadith of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, which is related to that verse of the Quran, Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, said, the keys of the unseen are five. No one knows them except Allah. None knows when the hour will be established by Allah. None knows when it will rain but Allah. None knows what is in the womb but Allah. No one knows what will happen tomorrow but Allah. And none knows where he will die but Allah. The first key is the time, the hour, which is the key of the day of resurrection and the hereafter. We will recite from Surah number 79, from verse 42 to verse 45. Surah number 79, from verse 42 to 45.
الله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يسألونك عن الساعة أيان مرساها، فيما أنت من ذكراها، إلى ربك منتهاها، إنما أنت منذر من يخشاها كأنهم يوم يرونها لم يلبثوا إلا عشية أو ضحاها. صدق الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. They ask you about the hour, when will be its appointed time. You have no knowledge to say anything about it. To your Lord belongs the knowledge of the term thereof. You are only a warner for those who fear it.
Okay. So actually, sisters, when Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, was asked about the time of the hour, it was Allah, the All-Knower, that sent the answer, which clarifies that the hour is so great and majestic that neither Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, nor anyone else should ask to be informed of its exact time. This knowledge belongs to Allah alone, not to anybody else. So this is actually what we are supposed to know about the hour. It is only to Allah. None is supposed to know about it, even Prophet Muhammad, the best human being ever created. So we have learned the first of the five unseen matters, which is the hour. And we have clarified that only Allah, all praise and glory be to Him, He knows the time of its befalling and none else has the knowledge of it. We shall now move to the second of the five unseen matters. As Allah said, He sends down the rain, وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. Actually, this issue has lately raised by many researchers, whom they claimed that they are capable of sending down the rain after having discovered that clouds are positively and negatively charged. When joined together, rain falls. Further, they have discovered the chemical substance that caused the clouds to send down the rain. All these claims are nothing but lies uttered against Allah, all praise and glory be to Him. Rain falling from the sky is a highly complicated process that no human can ever bring it about. The process of rainfall doesn't start with clouds, but ends with them. It is a very huge process, and it occurs with neither the interference nor the knowledge of man. It is by means of sunlight that water is vaporized from the sea. Allah, all praise and glory be to Him, has made the sea constitute 4/5 of the total area of the earth and made the land constitute 1/5, so that the greater the water area is, the easier and faster becomes the evaporation process. We will recite now from Surah number 24, verse number 42, to know about the rain and how Allah is the only one who knows about it and controls the rainfall.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولله ملك السماوات والأرض وإلى الله المصير ألم تر أن الله يجري سحابا ثم يؤلف بينه ثم يجعله ركاما فترى الودق يخرج من خلاله وينزل من السماء من جبال فيها من برد فيصيب به من يشاء ويصرفه عن من يشاء يكاد سنا برقه يذهب بالأبصار.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. See you not that Allah drives the clouds gently, that joins them together, then makes them into a heap of layers, and you see the rain comes forth from between them, and He sends down from the sky hail like mountains, or they are in the heaven mountains of hail from where He sends down hail, and strikes therewith whom He wills, and averts it from who He wills. The vivid flash of its cloud lightning nearly blinds the sight.
Thank you. Actually, in this verse of the Quran, Allah, be ever glorified, His majesty and might, reveals to us some of the secrets behind the process of rainfall. The vapor rising from the seas through the sun rays ascends to the sky, forming by the will of Allah the clouds. High there are also found clouds heavy with water. When colliding against each other, lightning flashes. And when colliding against the mountains, rain falls. Therefore, heavy rain falls over the mountain chains all over the world. Allah, all praise and glory be to Him, He said, strike there with whom He wills, and averts it from whom He wills. The rule means that Allah binds the process of rainfall with His will. It is only up to Allah. This process is only up to Allah. So whoever of the mankind who think that he can send down the rain, we say to them, Allah, all praise to Him, has created in His universe many deserts. So if you can truly send down the rain, why don't you turn these deserts to rainy areas and turn them into green valleys? Mankind, with the knowledge it has been given, can't do that. Also, Allah has filled the land with rivers and made their water running continuously, with heavy rain falling each year. If they can really send down the rain, why don't they make a small river in the middle of the desert? We don't ask for a big river like those the Almighty Allah has created, and we will not ask for several rivers, just a small one as a proof of their ability, but they will never be able to. Allah, all praise and glory be to Him, has willed by His power and knowledge that years of drought strike many areas, and that is for us to learn that rain doesn't fall by the earthly causes known to mankind, but by the power of Allah. We say to them that if they can send down the rain, why not prevent the seasons of drought over rainy areas? But they stand powerless. We also witness the harm that is inflicted on plants, animals, and mankind, where plant dies, cattle perish, and people suffer from famine. No human power can put an end to the seasons of drought or cause rainfall. As we are living in the United States, the country that possesses the highest technology in the modern world, in California, people suffered three seasons of drought, and no human power was able to bring a drop of rain. Actually, my daughter is living in California, and she mentioned that for 3 years they didn't have a drop of rain. And suddenly, the rain started to fall continuously until they were flooded. You see, this is Allah the Almighty. None can stop the rain from coming down, and none can get the rain from the sky. It is only up to Allah the Almighty. So we can see how helpless mankind is before the power of the Almighty Allah in sending down the rain. Humanity at large can drive a cloud from one place to another to make it rain there, or move a single cloud from a place flooded to another that is rainless. We also must know that the entire humanity can't control the wind, but Allah sends it wherever He wills. For clouds are not self-driven, but are pushed by the winds from one place to another. Winds don't submit to the will of humans, either in its motion, focus, or in motion, force, or course. The process of rainfall is a very complicated process that happened only by the will of Allah, and man has no hand in it. Man is neither capable of controlling the evaporation process from the seas, nor the sun rays that cause evaporation, nor the vapor that raises to the sky, then condenses to form clouds, nor the winds that carry them to certain place, willed by the Almighty to be carried there. So we must always believe that key, like the previous key, the key which is related to sending down the rain, is only to Allah. We will move now, inshallah, to the third key of the unseen, which is related to that Allah knows what is in the womb. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. The third key related to the five keys of the unseen is the key that is mentioned in the surah number 31, verse number 34, and Allah knows that which is in the womb. Actually, this topic is currently the subject of endless controversy. Some people claim that modern science has revealed what is conceived in the womb, thanks to the ultrasound that can now visualize the mother womb during pregnancy and specify the sex of the baby. Actually, many Muslims believed that talk, and they started to repeat it themselves, claiming that science has actually discovered that which is in the womb. We say to them that Allah, who indeed knew that this would happen, has given us a clue to some unfolded meanings of the some verse that has given us a clue to some unfolded meanings of that verse, that which in the womb. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this, sister, is that Allah is the one who gave the man the ability to discover the ultrasound. So it is by the acceptance of Allah that man can use the ultrasound to know the sex of the baby in the womb of his mother. But this is not the meaning of this verse of the Quran. This is what all the Muslims must know. The verse of the Quran, or the key of the unseen, which is related to what is in the womb, is different from the sex of the baby. And we will learn now a story from the Holy Quran which will clarify to us exactly what is the meaning, that the key of what is in the womb is only up to Allah. We will recite now from Surah Maryam, Surah number 16, from verse 1 to verse 6, to know in more details about that fact, that what is in the womb is only up to Allah, not to the ultrasound. It is Surah number 19 from 2 to 6.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كاف ها يا عين صاد. ذكر رحمة ربك عبده زكريا إذ نادى ربه نداء خفيا قال رب إني وهن العظم مني واشتعل الرأس شيبا ولم أكن بدعائك رب شقيا وإني خفت الموالي من ورائي وكانت امرأتي عاقرا فهب لي من لدنك وليا يرثني ويرث من آل يعقوب وجعله ربي رضيا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
كاف
كاف
ها
ها
يا
يا
عين
عين
صاد
صاد.
Okay.
This is a mention of the mercy of your Lord to his slave Zechariah. When he called out his Lord Allah a call in secret, he said, "My Lord, indeed my bones have grown feeble and gray hair has spread on my head, and I have never been unblessed in my invocation to you, O my Lord. And verily I fear my relatives after me, and my wife is barren. So give me from yourself an heir. Who shall inherit me and inherit also the posterity of Yaqub, inheritance of the religious knowledge and prophethood, not of wealth? And make him, my Lord, one with whom you are well pleased."
Actually, sister, this is Prophet Zechariah, who was not blessed with children. And when he grew old, he feared for his passage. So he called on Allah to grant him a son. And right after his sincere supplication, Allah sent down his angels, who gave Zechariah the glad tidings that Allah has answered his supplication, as affirmed by the verses of the Quran which Allah said. We will recite now about the answer of Allah to the call of Prophet Zechariah. We will recite verse number 7, 12, 13, 14, and 15. 7, 12, 13, 14, and 15.
Which surah?
From the same to the continuation. Seven.
We start by 7. يا زكريا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا زكريا إنا نبشرك بغلام اسمه يحيى لم نجعل له من قبل سميا. قال رب أي أن يا يحيى خذ الكتاب بقوة وآتيناه الحكم صبيا وحنانا من لدنا وزكاة وكان تقيا وبرا بوالديه ولم يكن جبارا عصيا وسلام عليه يوم ولد ويوم يموت ويوم يبعث حيا.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah said, O Zechariah, verily we give you the glad tidings of a son whose name will be
Yahya.
Yahya. We have given that name to none before him.
In verse number 12.
It was said to his son, O Yahya, hold fast the scripture, and we gave him wisdom while yet a child, and made him sympathetic to men as a mercy or a grant from us, and pure from sins, and he was righteous and dutiful towards his parents, and he was neither arrogant nor disobedient to Allah or his parents. And salam be on him the day he was born, the day he dies, and the day he will be raised up to life again.
Okay. So actually, sisters, Allah the Almighty gave Zechariah the glad tidings that his wife would get pregnant and beget a son before she was actually pregnant with her son Yahya, that he would be noble and he would become a prophet and a righteous man. As Prophet Zechariah was so surprised regarding being an old man having a barren wife, so how come he can have a baby? We will recite verse number 8 now. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Yes. He said to Allah. Verse number 8. Yes.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال رب أن يكون لي غلام وكانت امرأتي عاقرا وقد بلغت من الكبر عتيا. قال كذلك قال ربك هو علي هين وقد خلقتك من قبل ولم تك شيئا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. He said, My Lord, how can I have a son when my wife is barren and I have reached the extreme old age? So he said, so it will be. Your Lord says, it is easy for me. Certainly I have created you before when you have been nothing.
Okay. So actually, sister Zechariah here is an old man and his wife is barren. So we can see that causes for a baby don't exist. But in spite of that, Allah told him that his wife would get pregnant and beget a son, and then he told him the son's life and death. And Allah clarified to Zechariah that it is easy for him, as Allah had created Zechariah while he was nothing. Again, we question the greatest masters in the world, that if we bring them an old man and a barren old woman to reveal to us through their knowledge all these stated facts as happened with Zechariah, can anyone in this world, if there is an old man and a barren old woman, can they tell us how they can make them to have a baby, or they can predict, or they can know what is in the womb regarding this story? Actually, we must know that the significance of that which in the womb, in conclusion, is that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is not the problem to know if the baby is a male or a female. Okay, which we can know it now through the ultrasound. The depth of the meaning of that verse of the Quran, that which is in the womb, goes far beyond that, because Allah knows the father and the mother of the infant before they get married. All praise is to Allah, as Allah mentioned that fact in Surah number 42, verse number
59. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لله ملك السماوات والأرض يخلق ما يشاء يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورَ أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. To Allah belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. He creates what He wills. He bestows female offspring upon whom He wills, and bestows male offspring upon who He wills. Or He bestows both males and females, and He renders barren whom He wills. Verily, He is all-knower and is able to do all things.
So actually, sisters, regarding that which is in the womb, it is related to the life of the baby from the moment of its birth to the moment of its death, whether it is to be wretched or blessed, tall or short. That will be the color, what will be the color of his skin? Will it be sound or thick? What events will happen to his life, his work, his provision, his spouse, and whether he shall have children or not? We can go on forever with these questions. The word "that which" signifies the life record of that which is not yet originated in the womb of the mother. So how real beauty is the sex of the baby measured against all of this, whether it is a male or female? A further important issue is the fact that science only discovered the sex of the baby after its existence. But can science tell us before the mother conceives anything about the baby, before the beginning of its creation within the womb of the mother? We will recite now from Surah number 13, verse number 8, to know that Allah is the only knower of all what is in the womb.
الله يعلم ما تحمل كل أنثى وما تغيض الأرحام وما تزن وكل شيء عنده بمقدار عالم الغيب والشهادة الكبير المتعال.
Allah knows what every female bears and by how much the wombs fall short of their time or number or exceed. Everything with Him is in due proportion. All-knower of the unseen and the seen, the Most Great, the Most High.
So actually, at the end, sisters, we must realize that Allah alone is the all-knower of what, of that which is in the womb. Knows it since eternity. He knows what every female will beget from the moment of Adam, peace be upon him, was created till the day of resurrection. All is fully known to him even before the creation of Adam and Hawa. Now inshallah we will move to the fourth key of the unseen, which is related to what he will earn tomorrow. It is the key of the door of the man's future, which is only known to Allah the Exalted. No one knows what will happen tomorrow, good or bad, benefit or harm, ease or hardship, health or sickness, obedience to Allah or disobedience. Earning is far more general than material gain. It applies to everything that happened to a person tomorrow, which is kept hidden under thick cover. But let us focus on the wealth, as this is the most important for people to know regarding the future. Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings upon him, said, "Verily, provision seeks the servant just as his appointed term, that is to say, the time of the death, seeks him. Provision knows your place, but you don't know its whereabouts. As you may knock at hundreds of doors in search for provision, and nothing comes to you, but provision knows your place and comes to you wherever you are." Let us depend on Allah Almighty. Let us be obedient to Allah, the Almighty, the Provider, the One who controls the sustenance, so that inshallah Allah will provide us even if the means are not around. Allah has the ability to provide from His unlimited ownership and provision. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The fifth key of the unseen is the key related to the fact that no soul knows in what land it will die. This is the key of death. So the question is, why Allah concealed the time of death from all of us? Because every man would commit many evils and sins as long as he knows that he has still time to live. He would only perform good deeds when the time of his death approaches. But owing to our ignorance of the death time, for it could be tomorrow or the day after or after years or only an hour, every believer hastens to the performance of good deeds for fear that the time of his death approaches. When death comes, man has no longer the freedom of choice to earn more good deeds or to decrease his evil ones from evil. Or lessen his evil ones, for man's deeds end by death. Therefore, the anticipation of the time of death is an alarm sounded to man for him to hasten on to perform the good deeds. Just as Allah the Almighty has concealed the time of death, He has concealed its place, for none knows where he will die. You may see someone who plans to travel by plane, but fails to reserve a place on board. He tries hard to get one. He may even quarrel over it or call many authorities. Finally, one of the passengers fails to show up, and he takes his place while feeling happy for traveling on an urgent mission. But hardly after taking off by an hour or two, the plane burns, and thus he has run after his own death and exerted great effort to depart to his death place. We thus learn that no place man is safe from death. Allah clarifies that meaning in Surah number 62, verse number
8. I was listening to a little about the devil. The devil actually believed in Allah. The reason he was doomed to hell because he was disobedient. Thinking, how many of the Muslims who believe in Allah and they're so disobedient? We're not talking about the kuffar who don't believe in Allah. I'm talking about Muslims who believe in Allah, but they're disobedient. So how far are they from, like, you know, the devil? What the devil did, the devil was disobedient, and we're so many things, we are disobedient, we don't follow and we don't obey Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah number 62, we will recite now from Surah number 62, verse number 8.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ ثم تردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة فينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Say to them, verily the death from which you flee will surely meet you. Then you will be sent back to Allah, the All-Knower of the unseen and the seen, and He will tell you what you used to do.
Actually, sisters, faced by that truth, we must remind ourselves that on the day man is born, the death arrow is shot along with that of life, and the angel of death keeps following man but doesn't find him until the hour Allah has decreed for man to die, and they will finally meet each other. Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessing upon him, said, if Allah wants to take a person's soul in a particular land, He will give him a reason to go there. Death, life, future, day of judgment, and the hereafter are all known only to Allah. So let us appreciate being believers in Allah's oneness, and let us make the dua. Allah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.